from Matthew chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 9. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God.
Savior, you want us to look at the, not the final two, but the next to the final two, of the eight principles of Celebrate Recovery. There are the acrostic, spelling out recovery. Now that's Rick Warren's, or I think John Baker's, acrostic. This is an outline that I'm developing, and Rick Warren may excommunicate me when he finds out that I've tampered a little bit. But I like to preach from the scriptures themselves, and I like pea salads. I like alliteration. So each of these has a P in the last, in the second word, and S in the first word. So I may have gone a little bit too far. I usually do on this alliteration. And you may want to write. You may want to interpret. You may want to translate these terms that I have, these principles. Well, we've looked at the spiritual poverty principle, and that is the first beatitude, which says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." There is the sorrowful purpose principle. Blessed are they that mourn, Jesus said, for they will be comforted. There's a purpose in the sorrows and troubles that we experience. Then the third principle is the surrendered preference principle. Blessed are the meek, Jesus said, for they will inherit the earth. We surrender our preferences. We humble ourselves under His mighty hand. And then there is the stated proclivities principle. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That we state openly, examine and confess our faults to ourselves, to God, and to someone we trust. That's one of the eight recovery principles. Then, this week, I'd like for us to look at, are you totally confused yet? Well, when we get to the eighth one, I'm sure you will be. But that's why I gave you that outline, so maybe you can study it, maybe you can figure it out a little better than I can say it. But submitted pride principle. And that is the principle that is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, if we could look at that together. Again, Jesus said, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Incidentally, that picture there is a picture of the place that most believe is the spot, or near the spot at least, where Jesus spoke these words of the Sermon on the Mount. So maybe we can picture ourselves in that crowd of people. Now, there were people, just all kinds of people there. I don't know that there were any that were that felt like they didn't need it. I think, like people that come to church, you know that you need the Lord in your life. You know you need something that you don't have. And so we come to Jesus like those came, streamed across the hillsides to hear His words in this Sermon on the Mount, these Beatitudes, as they're called, the first of the Sermon on the Mount. Well, there's the principle of submitted pride. Its purpose is to voluntarily, now that's the B in recovery, voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. Now, do you have any character defects? Well, I see a few heads shaking. But I know you all would confess, I would trust, to having character defects. Now, character defects aren't, you know, the character that God created in us. Now, we need to make that distinction. Character is really something that we are, something that we do, habits in our life, things that make us who we are. Now, not who God created us to be, because the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Someone has said, sow a thought, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. And I think that's very true. Jesus said, as we think in our heart, so we are. If you want to know what your character's like, then what are your thoughts when no one is around? What are the things that go through your mind? Now that's what we're talking about. That's kind of scary, isn't it? That's what we're talking about when we're talking about character defects. Again, we're not talking about, you know, well, I wish God hadn't made me this way. I'm just an angry person. God made me this way. If you have a problem with that, blame God. Don't blame me. You know, I come from a long line of angry people. That kind of argument. Or I just can't resist this because this is the way God created me. I have this God-created weakness. And so we tend to rationalize, don't we, our character. But again, character is something we are. It's not something that God created in us. It's something that we create in us. So we need to, as the principle says, voluntarily submit. That means that we're not, you know, we don't submit, well, because we have to, but because we want to, because we love Christ. We realize that He paid the debt of our sin on Calvary. And so we voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life. You know, we might want to revise that a little bit and say, well, some changes at least are good. If they are changes that God wants in our lives, shouldn't we voluntarily submit to them? Now, we may not think, well, there's much hope that we can change. But does not the Bible say that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? That's the kind of God that we have. He can break the chains of those habits and those hurts and those hang-ups if we'll let Him. If we'll voluntarily submit to every change God wants me to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove our character defects. Well, that's the purpose. But the persons or the people are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Getting back to what Jesus said here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, righteousness is in short supply today, isn't it? I mean, we don't even hear that term righteous unless it's spoken in derision. You know, well, he's a righteous Joe or something like that. Kind of a backhanded way of criticizing, really. But it shows how far we are from righteousness. Do we want to be righteous? Do we want to be righteous? Just means that we're right with God. That there's nothing between us and God. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have struggles, that we're not going to sometimes fall into sin. But we have the promise of Scripture that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He does that on the basis not just because He loves us, not certainly because of any intrinsic goodness in us, but because of Calvary, because Jesus paid the debt of our sin. And we can come in confidence because we come in the name of Jesus to God. And we humbly ask His help to remove, ask Him to remove our character defects. His promise is that we will be filled. That Greek word is kortazo, which means to be filled with grass. I don't think any of us are filled with grass this morning, but it really refers to the cattle grazing on the hillside, the contented, you know, California cows that you see in the commercials. You know, after they're all very happy, well fed, content. Well, that's the idea. That we will be filled, that we will be satisfied, that we won't have to look for other things to fill us up. You know, we want more than grass. So, you know, we look around us and we think, well, I'm not content. I've got to fill that void with something, some substance, some habit, some character fault of ours that we would maybe blame on heredity. But we have the promise of God's Word that those who hunger and thirst, isn't that kind of an irony here, that if we want to be filled, then we have to hunger. Hunger and thirst, it says here, after righteousness. And then we will be filled. So there is a submitted pride. That's recovery principle number 5. And then there is seeking peace. Or as I would say, summarize this next beatitude, or actually 2 beatitudes, found in verses 7 and 9 here. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. No, I'm sorry, that one skipped over, but we covered that one before. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will become the sons of God. That's verse 9. So, what is its purpose, this seeking peace principle? Well, its purpose, according to, again, the 8 principles, we've gotten to the E there in recovery. And the purpose is to evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and to make amends for harm I have done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. And I think that last phrase there is very important because sometimes we might maybe confess something that actually could be more harmful. It's between us and God. And in those cases, I don't necessarily think that we are to. I mean, there's really, certainly if it's between us and God, then there's really no one that we need to confess that to. Well, there may be some. There may be some that are near us that have been affected by our habit, or whatever it might be. But I think what this is saying is that sometimes you might share something that might break a confidence, it might hurt somebody else, out of a desire to kind of, you know, air our dirty laundry, as some would say. But that's, I think, why that was put in there. Except when to do so would harm them or others. Again, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me. That's what Jesus meant when He said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I don't find much mercy in the world today. I mean, I find it in God, and I find it in some Christians. Thank God for those that are merciful. But we live in a world that's more interested in seeking justice, seeking retribution. where God wants us to be merciful. I think a lot of us carry that baggage of a hurt that we're just so angry about, that in our quiet moments we just are obsessed with that hurt. Probably each of us has some hurt like that that comes to mind. But there may be someone, I've read and heard of some hideous things that have happened where maybe a husband or wife was murdered, or a child, a son or daughter was murdered or assaulted. And there's such anger there. It's just, you know, even though maybe it has been confessed once, it comes back. And I think that's what it's saying here. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, Jesus said. And then he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. It's a little like that. We're to be peace seekers. We're to be seeking peace. That's us. Blessed are the peacemakers. If we would be like as Jesus wants us to be, then we need to be concerned about making peace with others. Again, the purpose is to evaluate our relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me. I think that that means that sometimes we go to that person. The chances are they already know that they have hurt you. There is a breach there between you and that person. And you think, well, you know, after all, they're the ones that hurt me. I didn't hurt them. But I think what we do in that case is that we go and just be reconciled to them. If we have anything, Jesus said, between us and another brother, we are not to come, or sister, we are not to come and offer our gift to God. We're not to be hypocrites in worshiping Him. Why? Because the Bible says that he who loves God, or says he loves God and hates his brother, is a hypocrite, because the love of God cannot dwell in such a heart. Evaluate our relationships. I think that means that we prayerfully evaluate them, that we ask God to maybe bring those things to our conviction, and that we be reconciled to those not only who have hurt us, but whom we have hurt primarily, I would say, but also to those who have hurt us. Be merciful, Jesus said, because the promise is they will be called the sons of God. I think it's all part of the healing that God wants to bring into our lives. I think otherwise we're walking wounded. We're limping around. We're maybe making the pretense that I'm all right, when actually we're deeply hurt and deeply wounded. And so may we just open our hearts to what God wants to do in each of our lives.